That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this frosty morning, Saturday, January 14th, 2017. Still not used to saying that yet, 2017. Whoo, up my, how time has flown. But that's how it goes. Well, good morning, men. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And you know, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and his word says, wherever two or more gather in his name, he is there also. So, Lord, good morning, and welcome here with us, and be with us here this day. Well, folks, we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later, maybe. But I know we've got a few things to cover this morning. I always like to open up in a word of prayer. And, John, we'll, I got the text. You got the prayer this morning. So we'll give it to you, sir.
I think what I'll do is I'll pray this prayer that was given to me, and then, Jason, why don't you add to it whatever the Lord gives you.
Okay.
I submit myself unto my Father who is in heaven, and I renounce, reject, and repel reputation, self-importance, selfishness, self-righteousness, self-exaltation, self-centeredness, self-honor, self-promotion, double-mindedness, complaining, murmuring, spiritual ambition, positioning, posturing, pretense, looking good to others, influence, pride, competition, lust, discouragement, bitterness, envy, jealousy, foolishness, unforgiveness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I resist the devil and command every associated spirit to go from me now. In Jesus' name, I do this for myself and for all of my true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, brothers. I embrace and receive unto myself humility, love, the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, his demeanor, his attributes, his prudence, his resolve, his grace, his discretion, his disposition, his love, his nature, his forgiving nature, his knowledge, his integrity, and I embrace Jesus, his person, his mindset, his light, his direction, his cause, his thoughts, his wisdom, his understanding, his dreams, his compassion, his joy, his peace, his will, and I will receive the Lord Jesus Christ unto myself and to all of the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, brethren. Lord Jesus, cleanse my mind, my memory, my imagination, my thought process, my motives, my eyes, my ears, my heart, my hands, my spirit, my soul, and my body. Give me a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands. Help me to completely fulfill your purpose in my life. I embrace the cross and fully trust in you, Lord Jesus, for my salvation and my position in heaven. And I conform to your image. Please equip me and all of the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, brethren, to finish my course with your grace and your peace. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just cry out to you as our Savior, our Deliverer, and we cry out and we call for that blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our lives, Father, and we just plead that blood right now, Father. We know that it's been applied and we plead it over us, Father, and we just call to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And we pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father, as we come against the Antichrist, the hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness that come against us, Father. You know our hearts, and we pray, Father, search our hearts, cleanse our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our spirits, Father, and fill us with more of that Holy Spirit. We pray that you just continue to open our eyes, to allow us to see the things that we need to see. We pray that we can be a blessing into a dark world, a light that shines bright, Father, because we carry that light of Jesus Christ. We pray that you just give us wisdom and that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you give us the courage, the power to fight the battles that are put before us. Father, we pray, just as our King David prayed, that you train our hands for battle, Father. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, that you do a mighty work in us and through us, Father, that you continue to bring the deeds done in darkness to light, Father, and that you just empower us, Father. We pray that you just continue to protect us and our wives, our children, our families, Father, from all these antichrist attacks, Father, that come against your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Thanks, Jason.
Well, folks, the program is called Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're the Wranglers. Here it is Saturday morning. Got our coffee, got our Bibles open, and we welcome you. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully, you're reading your Bible. If you are, you've had this week a good review of some foundation that most of the churches in the land just do not understand. If you've read the first few chapters of Genesis, you should be up to about Genesis 24 by today. You see that God spoke and the world was created. And so that should remind us, we've heard our pastor teach on the power of words, on how powerful God's words were, and then he made us in his image, and how powerful our words are. And as you read through, you see that, yes, there was a great multitude made, people all around. But God starts dealing with a certain person named Abram. And when you read on through, you see that he makes a covenant with a man named Abram and Abraham. And he blesses him. And God works miracles in Abraham's life. And he destroys sin in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the family starts, and then you start having Isaac and Jacob, and you know, these are really foundational scriptures for his story, for the Bible. All the Bible is inspired, all of it's important, but when you read this part of it, it's an excellent review to go back and read it. Maybe it is for the first time you're reading it. But you go back and you see where it all started. And you see that even though, yes, God created people all over the earth, it's Abram. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he is dealing with. And if you read through it, one thing that jumped out at me was in Genesis 14. It was something that in the reference I don't believe I'd seen before, and I'll just mention that, and then we'll go from there. But in Genesis 14, it talks about, you've already had Abraham, Lot's been introduced, and they're setting up the battle of the kings. You have these kings over here and kings over there, and they're gonna battle and kidnap Lot, and that's when Melchizedek comes in. So that's the time period. But verse 12 says, they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. And then verse 13 says, then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. And so it describes who Abram is. Abram the Hebrew. Now this is back in Genesis 14. This is way back in the beginning that this establishes this. Abram the Hebrew. And the footnote for that is the possessors of the covenant. And I just thought that was... I didn't remember putting those two together. That the Hebrew, meaning the possessors of the covenant, way back there in Genesis. Anyway, kind of jumped out at me, and I thought I'd mention it this morning. But you see those little nuggets when you go back and reread, in Genesis 15, you can start getting into some things called faith, some things called belief. In verse 6 of Genesis 15, it says, then Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And that scripture is quoted throughout the New Testament. You read about that, you see that in Hebrews, it's quoted in belief and in faith. And so...
Yeah, we're going through all that too with my Wednesday morning prayer breakfast group. And what's frustrating sometimes is to... fellowship with Judeo-Christians who don't understand who true Israel is, but I think we have to try to have patience with yes. them, and what I've been doing is praying that, Lord Jesus, you say that we have command over your angels, I think it's Hebrews 14:3, but anyways, so we can command angels, we can say, Lord, send ministering angels to your people or to your family or to your brethren, whatever it is, and Lord Jesus, reveal to them the light of the truth, things like that that we can do to try to prepare their hearts and their minds and their souls to receive the truths that we've been blessed to have for so many years. I think a lot of times we take it for granted, but going through Romans is extremely difficult if you're trying to analyze that without understanding the true Israel truth. Well, the reality is the whole Bible changes as soon as you understand who true Israel is.
It does.
But so that's the frustration that I'm fighting. But lately, instead of putting the effort in being frustrated, I'm putting the effort in praying for the Lord Jesus to send ministering angels and to expose to them the light of the truth that we've been privileged to see.
Amen. And, you know, throughout the scripture, the Bible talks about how God directs the hearts of men, how he directed Pharaoh, how he changes the hearts and the thoughts of men. And so we sure can do that very thing, and it's effective. We know God answers our prayers. It's a matter of doing it. It really is, you know.
So I got about at least 15 men who have made the pledge to read the Bible in a year, and what's kind of interesting too is you see that they say, I mean, we just went through Romans probably a month ago before we started the Bible reading plan, and almost all of them have just said how much more they've seen and how much more has been revealed to them by going through it and reading it again. And I said, well, that's because it's the living word. As long as you keep seeking, the Lord will keep giving.
Amen. Amen.
So it's not too late, Remnant, to share these Bible reading plans, and we do have some that are printed without any reference to Scriptures for America. If you want to just give somebody a generic Bible reading plan, let Richard know, and we'll send it to you, or send you a dozen, or 50, or whatever you want.
Sure.
As long as you're willing to spread them. because it's not about the notoriety of the ministry. It's about getting our people into the Word.
Amen. Amen. John, I had kind of the same response with at least one man, the little Wednesday morning prayer group I meet with here in town that are men, Christian men, but you know, they go to church here in town at a couple different churches here in Laramie, and had a new guy in the group. The first, maybe the last Wednesday in December, and then he's been a couple weeks, didn't see him this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before when I did the same thing, I Jason printed us up some of the generic Bible reading plans, and I took them and just passed them out and just told them the same thing. You know, men, if we're Christians, we should be reading the Bible. Here is a tool, a reminder to help us do that. And, you know, hope it helps. And the new guy, his name is Rick, and he got up afterwards and he said, you know, he said last week he had prayed for that very thing. Lord, I know I need to be reading your word. I want to draw nearer to you. Help me in that. And he said that was his prayer. And when he saw this, he saw that as an answer.
Here's your sign.
Yeah, here's your sign. And so he said, I'm taking it. He said, I'm going to read it. He said, I'll commit to that. He said, because this is what, he said, I asked God for this, and here it is. And so I was pretty impressed.
Several of the men said, I've tried it before, but now that you've given me a guideline and something that will keep me accountable, you know, I was watching as they pulled out their Bible reading plans Wednesday morning, and you can see that they're either checkmarked or they're highlighted or they're crossed or whatever it is that they completed the reading for that day. So that's encouraging.
Amen. Amen. And you know, one note that thought occurred to me in your prayer this morning, John, was you said, I resist the devil. And, you know, James 4:7 tells us to do that. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And, boy, there's a whole sermon right there in that. But, you know, the first part, submit to God. Well, how do you submit to God? One way is you read his word. You see how people, men and women, throughout our history have done that very thing. You know, we see how Jesus Christ submitted to God when he said, not my will, O Lord, but thy will. And it gives us that example to do that very thing. And then, in addition to that, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if you believe the word, there it is. But you have to resist. You have to do. Has to be a little bit more than believe. Believe is certainly a start. And that's where we start. But that's not the end. That's where we start. We start in believing, and then if we believe the word, we start reading the word, and we apply it, and we become doers, doers of the word, and not hearers or readers only. Has to apply. I know, Jason, you've made that comment several times that you can't just read the word, but you have to apply it to your life, right? You have to do what it says.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can read it all you want, but if you don't do what it says, then, you know, it doesn't do you really any good at all, you know. And that's like, you know, I mean, so many people, it's like, that you see nowadays, I mean, it's the last thing that they want to do is pray. They have a situation that arises in their life, and they refuse to pray. You know, and how often do you hear the words come out of somebody's mouth, you know, well, is all we can do is pray. Well, you know, when you say it, is all we can do is pray, you know, you put in prayer on the back burner. It's your last go-to resort. It's your last weapon that you're going to pick up. You know, it's you've tried everything else is what you're saying. You know, and people's attitudes need to be that's the first thing that they need to do. It's the most important thing that you need to be doing. It's the most important thing you need to be doing for our children, for our wives, for, you know, this country. And putting prayer first, because, you know, our God is a jealous God. You know, we read that from his word time and time again. You know, that's applying it to your life. That is being what the word says to be.
Amen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't have to read Psalms very far to realize that King David, that, you know, when he was joyful, he cried out to the Lord and he was talking to God. When he was sad, he was talking with God. When he was upset, when his life was in the pit and he was scared of dying, he was talking with God. And it wasn't, well, I tried this and I tried this and I did this. Okay, I might as well go talk to the Lord. He had a walking, talking relationship with God each and every day.
Amen. Amen. I like how you put that. It was every day. It was a relationship. You know, that Bible, the Word of God, it is more than just a dusty book up on the shelf. It is. If the people will go to it, you know, it is. It's the way we draw closer to God, reading His Word, seeing what He's about.
Yeah, and I mean, and now is the time that it's, you know, when people, they're just so far removed from God, because, you know, it's like when something happens in people's life and they try this and they try that and they try this. Okay, well, we went and we saw a specialist. We went and we saw this doctor. We went and saw this nurse. We went and did this chiropractic thing. We went and we took these supplements. Okay, well, we've tried everything else and nothing is working. Why? I guess, you know, maybe we'll talk to God and see what if there's anything that He can do about it. And it's that's being removed from God. I mean, you know, it's
right. You
don't have to make a big deal out of it. You don't have to call up everybody and say, you know, we want you and you pray for it. You hit your knees and you pray for something. I mean, and you know, you lift your hands up and you cry out to God and you talk to Him and you tell Him, bring before Him your needs, your desires, your, you know, what you're facing. And, you know, it's amazing how many people won't even stop and take the time and pray for wisdom. You know, I've asked people, you know, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed for wisdom in this situation? Have you prayed for it? You know, no, well, you know, and it's like everybody has an excuse about it. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were all bent out of shape over something, and going on and on and on, and I told them, I said, finally, I said, I ain't even going to talk to you about it. I ain't even going to go there. I said, I'll pray with you if you want to pray about it. But other than that, you know, we're done here. And, you know, they really couldn't argue with that. And, you know, they finally agreed to it. But it's our people need to be to the point where that's the first thing that they do. And I believe that when you do that, God honors that, and He respects that, and He appreciates that. It shows Him honor. It shows Him reverence. You know, it's that, going back to that husband and wife relationship, you know, if my wife needs, and she goes and she talks to John first, and she goes and talks to Richard, and she talks to Steve, and then finally the last person that she comes to is me, her husband, and says that, you know, by the way, I went and I talked to them, and I want this, and they couldn't give it to me, and, you know, they couldn't help me with it, and then I went to this person, and I went to this person, and then I went to this person, and, you know, finally, you know, I'm going to come and ask you, how would that make you feel? I mean, it wouldn't make you feel very good.
No. That's a good illustration.
Excellent illustration.
And our God is a jealous God, and we've got to remember that.
Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to make a correction. The scripture I wanted wasn't Hebrews 14:1. It's 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? I mean, God's telling us that we have all of these angels at our command, and I mean, we have warring angels, we have comforting angels. Jason and I, as we went to break the tragic news of his uncle passing to his grandfather, that's what we had prayed ahead of time. Father, send that great comforter, the Holy Spirit. Send your ministering and comforting angels before we even get there to minister to his grandfather. And, you know, there was a difference. Something like that, and a man who's frail and in his latter years, that could be enough to cause his heart to stop and that be the end. But he understood he was in a better place. And I know that a lot of the grace and mercy that was bestowed upon him before we even got there was because of how we prayed.
Amen.
Wouldn't you say, Jason?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, and I mean, as we prayed, we driving over there, you know, it was sad news, and you know, that God put us at the right place at the right time and just put everything into place where we could do that. And you know, when those ministering angels, I mean, it's we've got power and authority to call upon them, and I know that that's one of the things that was just it worked. It cleared the air. You know, those angels, I believe, they just went through there. They marched in there. They cleared the air, and they comforted him, and they just put him into that into that state where he needed to be, and gave him the he needed to have.
Amen. And that's what our God does. He, you know, John 3:16 is still there. For God so loved the world, and he loves his people. And he comforts them in their time of sorrow. And he does things we have, you know, we can't even imagine at times, you know. We ask him for his guidance, for his direction. You know, I had an uncle. It's been a rough time for uncles this past year. Jason, I know you've sure been through the ringer with it, and I had an uncle, my dad's youngest brother, the last of that generation, passed away yesterday, and got the call, and along the same lines, you know, my brother had grown very close to my uncle since our dad passed away several years ago, and we knew it was going to be tough on him, and we've been praying specifically for him, you know, for him to draw near to God, my brother, during this time. The word I got yesterday was my brother had gone and visited my uncle, was there with him in the hospital, in hospice, was talking to him, was holding his hand, and the word that I got was that my brother was saying, you know, if you're ready to go, you can go. You've led a good life. You know, he was praying. He was fellowshipping with him. And my uncle, with my brother there, breathed his last breath and passed on. And for that to happen with my brother there was a great comfort to my brother. As well as to the entire family. And that is answered prayers. You know, we cannot imagine how God works things out. We know he works all things for good if we love him.
Amen. Love him, invite him, and are called by his purpose. Yeah. We qualify for that.
That's right. But it's because of prayer. It's because of the glory of God, but it's because we bring it to him, right? Because we bring it to him. We bring it before that holy court. We call out and ask for it, as he tells us to do, to bring our prayers and supplications to him.
Amen. Well, I think something else we need to be aware of and cautious of and prayerful of is the inauguration that's coming up. The Antichrist left has basically declared war on President-elect Trump's cabinet and him, and they if you read any of the writings, they're basically saying that he's filling his cabinet with Christians, and I don't remember all the different things, but the dark can't stand the light, right, and the light can see the dark. And what I've noticed more than ever before is, you know, our pastor taught us, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. And lately I have definitely a much keener sense of seeing the light and the dark. The kindred spirit that you know is there almost instantly when you meet someone, and then the opposition that's there, because they know what you are and you know what they are. And that's quite a blessing to be able to see that. And people, how do you know that? How can you see that? Because I prayed, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. How many times have you done that? Well, I've never done that. Well, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. But it's not too late to start. It's not too late to start. When you hear this stuff, when you hear it, that, well, then you can start, you know. And that believe, well, you know, that whosoever believes in him, that's a start. You know, that's where you start. You believe, and then you have to read, and then you have to pray, and then you have to apply, and then you have to do.
I was just thinking I need to modify that prayer I prayed this morning and add, Lord, help me with my dyslexia, because, I mean, a lot of times I'll get a scripture mixed up like that, you know, 14:1, 1:14. Those are things we can pray for the Lord to help us with as well, all of these things, all of these issues we have in life. I was going to tell Jason, too, something I just learned, a powerful phrase is if this is from the enemy, I command it to stop in the name of Jesus Christ. So anytime you're dealing with somebody or if you're going into a meeting, I forbid this person, if you know they're an adversary, from having any effect against me, my family, or whatever, in Jesus' name. All of these just little tiny commands, but it's commanding the enemy to cease and assist. It's not saying, asking the enemy. We keep forgetting that the Lord said in Luke 10:19, I've given you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. God won't do what he's given us power to do. That's the bottom line. We just have to have the faith to command it, to believe it, and to thank him for doing it.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you got to walk in that power and authority that we have been given in Christ Jesus as Christians.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's something we've been missing, I think. And, I mean, Pastor always told us to pray with authority. And that we were so light years ahead of most people who were wimpy Judeo-Christians that would just go, oh, Lord, if it be your will. No, not if it be your will. It's your promise. And I'm holding you to your promise, Father, in Jesus' name. And thank you for keeping your promise. Thank you for making these promises for your people.
Amen.
So good news is we're getting smarter.
Absolutely.
But anyways, we need to keep this inauguration, I think, in our prayers for protection. They're actually publicly, apparently they ran a full-page ad in the New York Slimes or something about inauguration, calling for people to come and to protest, and not peacefully either. So,
yeah, well, and a lot of what they're doing too, they're calling up a lot of these Antichrist organization, what are they, the anarchists and stuff like that, and the, you know, the witchcraft and the sorcery, and I mean all those groups that dabble in that kind of stuff too, is they're calling for that to be to use them as protesters. They're calling for these Muslims to have terrorist attacks on that day and around that time, and you know, it's you know, I mean, if, a lot of times people forget that, you know, Obama was a Muslim, and you know, they're taking it as, you know, that, you know, they're losing a Muslim in the White House, and it could be very interesting times. I think that, you know, it's exciting times. We just need to continue to pray and bind the enemy and forbid that enemy from having any effect upon, you know, us or our people. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I believe you're foolish if you do not pray, if you don't go, if you don't pray before you go to town, or if you don't pray before you send your family into town.
Amen.
Or on a trip. I mean, we're living in uncertain times. These are perilous times. We're these are Day of the Lord events are taking place all over the world right now, and you know that's exactly where we're at.
Right, and then the excellent point that you make is we see these things in the physical realm, like you pointed out. The spiritual realm is where we're going to win these battles. if all of those people who are called by his name, those Christians that fell asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel, if we continue to pray like we have been praying, then they have no power. But if we don't, then their spiritual forces can and will and have done in the past overcome our spiritual forces because we haven't prayed. So I think that's an excellent point, that although we see all of these things in the physical realm, the reality is we'll win this in the spiritual realm if we're obedient.
Amen. You know, we have sent more of the DC Street Sorcery and DC Street Sorcery Revealed Part 2. We've sent more of those DVDs out probably in the last 6 or 8 weeks than we did the last 6 months. And because it's up on, you know, people, not us, but people have put it up on YouTube and they've sent it out and they put it on these sharing sites. And you know, we're sending some to some people, one to some people, 10 and 12 of each of them, because the people are, they're starting to wake up. They're starting to see that, hey, wait a minute, there is something. It's not just the physical battle. There is something to this on the spiritual side. And you know, the roots run deep, and it is, so much of what the enemy has done has just become familiar to our people. It's just the way it is, they yep. think, and it's familiar. You know, it's you know, it can be like a familiar spirit. It's not a spirit of God. It's not a godly thing that they're familiar with, but you know, well, it's always been like this. You hear that sometimes, but. The DC Street Sorcery, those DVDs are going out. People are starting to wake up and see that it's more than just in the physical.
You look at how many teachings that Pastor Peters gave us that are these timeless truths that we're fortunate that God made provision for his people and that we're able to experience and learn from teachings that were way before their time. But now they're prevalent. And I think it's the same thing with DC Street Sorcery. God, the Holy Spirit had given Adam such insight into these things, and it was such a blessing for our people, and it's going to continue to be a blessing as they wake up. But we need to continue to remember the sacrifice that men like Adam and Skyler put into making that documentary, and also the God Save America documentary. You know, these men were given gifts, but these truths, I think, were a little bit before the time that our people could receive them. I mean, there was, you know, there's the Gideon elite, there's those that had eyes to see and ears to hear because they've been praying that for years, as our pastor had told us. But like you said, now there's more and more people that see that there's something going on in the world and they can't understand it, and they're hungering and thirsting for the truth. And we have an opportunity like we've never had in history, in at least my years, to reach those people.
Yep. You know, it's like
I would agree with that. You know, and at times like this when you really see that there's a lot of people that are out there that are looking for truth. They don't know really where to get it sometimes. It was really interesting to me a couple weeks ago. I had a message that I was working on getting ready for church, and it was Colonel Jack Moore. And I had it, and I was playing it through in my office on the television, and had a McMahon come in and sat down, and he was just so excited about that. He was so excited. He sat there and he listened, and he said, "That man's telling you the truth." And he's like, and he listened some more, and he said, "Well, this has to be at least 10 years old," because he said, "I quit going to church, you know, in 1989, and he said, because he's like, I went to so many different churches, and, you know, they all lied to me, and they weren't telling me the truth. And he said, I got so fed up with it that I just quit going to church." And he was, I got him several copies of some stuff, but he was really open to listening to it, and he was excited about everything that I gave him just because it was the truth, and he had an appreciation for it.
Amen.
just got a text from a brother that said, the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say to ask God to resist the devil for you.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah. The words that precede that are submit yourself to God. You know?
Yep.
That means do what he tells you to do. He tells you to resist the devil. Amen. Amen. And I think when that happens, then it's like Jason's saying, that truth can flow. Then that truth can finds a home. You know, you know, how many times did our pastor pray, Lord, let your people hunger and thirst for righteousness and for truth. And boy, when you do that, when you start hungering, when his people start hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God feeds us with truth. He gives us truth.
Yeah, we're in, you know, we're experiencing things that we never experienced before that I can think of. I mean, I read a story that broke my heart this week about a little 12-year-old girl who apparently was sexually abused or something and beaten, but she set up her phone on live Facebook, threw a rope over a tree and hung herself on live Facebook, 12 years old. And, you know, the devil roams like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And these children today have so many conduits to demons, so many things that allow Satan and his minions to occupy their lives and to have legal ground in their lives. And our phones, you know, these are portals, really, to evil. It's a double-edged sword, just as we talked about. And the parents, for the most part, they're not raising their children anymore. They're allowing a school system to indoctrinate them. They're allowing evil companions to corrupt good morals. They're allowing them free will to the internet and to their phones and to social media. And these things are all enemies of our people and conduits to demons, in my opinion.
Amen.
So our job is to try to educate as many people as we can about these dangers, and really, there's only one thing to combat it, and one thing to protect your family, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't contacted that blood through baptism for the remission of sins, then if your children are under the age of accountability, 20, they're protected as long as the parents are baptized under that umbrella of protection. But at age 20, God says, okay, now put your money where your mouth is. Do you really want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, or do you just want to talk the talk and play church? Because if you want to be under the blood, if you want to be under my protection, then you have to decide. Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then go ahead and serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord. And you enter into that covenant, and there's consequences for breaking that covenant. And unfortunately, I think most of the churches never warned these people, even if they are properly baptized, regarding the consequences of breaking that covenant. Lord says he won't tempt us past whatever we're able to resist. So the only reason we go past that point is because we've opened a door somewhere, or we've created a conduit to demons, or whatever it is that's leading us astray, that's causing us to fail that test, that trial, that tribulation that the Lord's given us to refine us.
Amen.
So, exciting times.
Yeah, did you see about that that ice storm that's getting ready to come through? Or I guess it already started. Saying that there might be the biggest ice storm that they've had in 10 years down south. That's something they're already... It's expected to hit from Oklahoma to Indiana. And they're already predicting between 4,000 and 10,000 power outages for different grids. And I guess it already started icing up. It was it's looking like it's going to get really bad. So, you know, keep those people in your prayers down there, because sometimes when those ice storms come through, it just shuts everything down. I mean, just, you know, stops
it. Why don't you go ahead and lift all of our people, all those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, up for protection in those states?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we lift up those that are our people, Father, that belong to you, that wear your brand, Father. We just call upon you to look down upon each and every one of them and protect them and get them through this storm. As the storm comes through their direction, we pray that you just protect them, that you keep them safe, that you keep their power on, Father, that you see to it that they have plenty, Father, that you station those angels about them and put a hedge of protection around them and a shield of light, Father. We call for those protecting warrior guardian angels, Father, to be stationed about your people in these areas, Father, and just to be with them and be with them and see to it that they make it through without a scratch. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're working on Dragon Slayer Volume 1, and I was working on the From the Ramrod article the other day, and I have to tell you, I'm excited that the things that the Lord's revealing to us this year, I think things that, you know, in the last days, knowledge would increase. That's one of his promises. We've been claiming that promise for his people who are called by his name. And I know that the Lord's revealed quite a bit to me lately, Jason and Richard, and probably many, many of the remnant out there, the Gideon Elite, the Acres of Diamond Men have sent things in as well. And it's going to be an exciting year. I really think that this will be the start that of the year that miracles will be prevalent in the land once again. If you think about how the gospel spread the first time, it was through the miracles. And God, in his unique wisdom, has created a group of people, a remnant, all throughout the country and even in the world, that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. I mean, the scripture says that there were 7,000 that would not bow their knee to Baal. Well, I don't know what the numbers are, and I guess at some point that'll be revealed to us, but what a blessing that the enemy does not know where to attack, because there's so many people who have been given so much knowledge and so much truth and a heart and a soul to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, and who understand at least the basics of spiritual warfare. Most Judeo-Christians don't even understand that we're in a spiritual warfare.
Right.
And when you show them 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 10, I believe it is. Hopefully that wasn't a dyslexia. And Ephesians 6, they've never seen it before.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're just told, you know, just believe, and everything's fine. Just believe, and everything's fine. And, amen. Well, guys, got a phone call here. Let's see if we can get the caller on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Warren.
I was calling you. Sheila's got an awful toothache, and when she went to the dentist the other day, and they actually made it worse. So we just did a prayer request, and that you find a better dentist. Being I'm retired military, they send you a certain dentist, and when they stuck the x-ray in, it actually made it worse. And so we just pray the Lord take the pain away and help her locate a good dentist.
Well, we will sure do it. And Warren, we know, as we've talked earlier, that that you are a praying man, the patriarch of your family, and you've prayed for your wife. Is that correct?
Right.
Amen.
Was Jason in this morning?
Oh, yeah, Jason's there.
He might know something that we tried some of this stuff to buy from the drugstore temporary building. He might have something to it. You know, working with his dad, he could call us later. We could call him Monday that he would recommend.
Yeah, just call. If you want to talk, you can call me later after the program or something, or call the office and leave your number, and we'll try to get together here. But we can definitely pray for you right now.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We come in agreement as your servants, Lord, as those that love and serve you. And we lift up, we stand with our brother Warren, Lord, and we pray for his wife Sheila. And Lord, if this is the enemy causing it, in the name of Jesus Christ, we in agreement command this toothache to stop. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his blood. And we command it now to the glory of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In Jesus'
name. Heavenly Father, we plead the,
yes.
Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our sister Sheila from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father, that it would cleanse her of any impurities, grant her strength and energy, vitality. We come against, just as Richard said, we come against this pain and this toothache, and we do command it, if it's from the enemy, to cease. We command all pain to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I think I might try some anointing oil. You know, we know that works.
Yes.
I know it does on headaches, so I think the Spirit just told me that just put on a cotton swab and stick it in there and see what happens. Well, God bless you guys and have a good day.
They've done that. Thank you, brother.
Okay, bye. Jesus said that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you.
Reveal that stuff.
Yeah, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you to do those very things. And absolutely, we know. We've had reports over the years of that anointing oil of God healing through that very thing.
So, the word's clear that the vine can't grow unless it's pruned, and there's been some pruning over the last year or so, and those that have separated themselves from this body based on not believing in the devil, the no-devil doctrine, and that's fine, but I just don't, you know, even our pastor at one point believed that, and later on in life he repented of having believed that, and said, I don't know how I could have believed that when you look in the Bible and you see all of the different illustrations time and time again. But I think we need to pray for those, too, that they're not deceived. Bible says that we're to forgive those that trespass against us. And so that's been my prayer. Father, if it's possible that you give them eyes to see and ears to hear and that they would see the truth, and Lord, that they would come back to the truth. So even if they are our enemies, which I don't believe that they are, but if they are our enemies, then it's like heaping burning coals upon their heads. So it's kind of neat how God's made forgiveness and blessing those that may try to curse you a blessing for you no matter what.
Yes.
I mean, it's so easy to just, when you're wronged, you know, or you're slandered or whatever, to get on the offensive and to just start slandering and, or not slandering, but just spreading rumors or spreading, even if it's truth, it's not what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Take the high road.
It's not. That's right. We have the instructions in the Word, how we're to act, how we're to react. How Christ acted, how Christ reacted, you know. I saw a thing the other day, and it said, you know, as a Christian, we're not to be like other Christians. We are to be like Christ. And we see how Christ was when we read his word. You know, even back in Zechariah 8, and it's a prophecy of how things are to be. You know, he says, and for thus says the Lord of hosts, do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. That means in your home, in your church, in your cities. Let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury. You know what perjury means? What does perjury mean?
Lying.
Lying. Do not love perjury. Do not love lying. For all of these are what I hate, declares the Lord. And he says, let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days to the words from the mouth of the prophets. And you know, we get to hear that word. We do.
Amen. Better invite people to church.
Yeah, it's about that time. So we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, folks. We've been playing, having the main broadcast starting for an earlier hour as well. Really helps out, I think, those on the East Coast. And so if you tune in at 9 a.m. Mountain, 10 Central and 11 Eastern, you can start off with Pastor Peters and a Timeless Truth pulpit message. And you can do like it we just read there. You can be strong, be strengthened, and hear the words of the prophets. And it will encourage you if you do that. And then stay tuned. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have another message for you. You can join us. We encourage you to do that. We'll have some good music, some praise music, where we can praise the Lord. We're told to sing a new song unto Him and to praise our Heavenly Father. And we'll get to partake of communion. And that is such an important thing. It's a time for us to pull away from the world. It's a time for us to judge ourselves. Not to come and judge one another, but to come before God Almighty, to come before His throne, and to judge ourselves. To look at our own lives. To look at that man in the mirror and see how'd we do this week. And to ask for forgiveness where we need forgiveness. And to realign and to realize what our Heavenly Father, how much He loved us, how much He loves us now, and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. And that is such an important thing, and we will do that. So we encourage you to join us. It's an opportunity for you to not forsake the assembly. And that's one of the commands that we're given. And you can join us at scriptures4america.org. Just click on the live video stream or the live audio stream if you have a low bandwidth internet, and you can listen to the program. And those messages are archived there as well at scriptures4america.org. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Well, men, thanks. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Amen.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, moving, moving. Though
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide.